Okay, Tav, Kuf, Yud Chet, that's where we are today. I just have one super quick comment. I know it's out of order for this year, but since we just finished Hanukkah, there's one issue in particular I just want to mention in case we already did Hilchos Hanukkah, but it's coming up in a few months in the cycle. But can you have your... So we know that there's the Gemara says a mitzvah to have your Chanukiah, your menorah, within a tefach of your doorway. So I just want to point out, it's a davar pashut, that it does not have to be within one tefach. Mitzvah lechatchila, yes, it should be within one tefach, that's a clear halacha, but bediyavid, if it's any further, for sure it's 100% okay, and depending on your, same thing with the right side versus the left side, and depending on your situation, it could obviously be lechatchila if it's more than a tefach, if there's no difficulty.
Which direction are you saying a tefach in?
A tefach horizontally. Same thing, there's an inyan between, do it between 3 and 10. If it's more than 10, also the Gemara just says mitzvah that's...
From here?
From outside, away from the doorway.
Here.
The halacha of the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, so it could be more than a tefach if necessary. And it's certainly not a problem. It just happens to be, I couldn't find anywhere that discusses the limit. Obviously, it'd be okay if it's close and obvious, if you're looking at the doorway, that it's shayach to the doorway. If it's relatively very close. But how far can it possibly be, that I have not seen, so. Okay, back to our topic. Tav kuf yud chet, seif dalet. Seif dalet. Mutar l'taltel sulam shel shovach mishovach l'shovach. So you're allowed to take, these are ladders that are meant for, they're not meant for construction, they're meant to go on top of the roofs. These are ladders that belong for a shovach, for like a bird coat, to take from one to another. You just move it from one to another so you can reach over there. There's no iser, you didn't do it, there's nothing to, you're moving a ladder, there's no muksa issues, there's no iser whatsoever, and there's no reason to make a gzera on it. We're gonna see why it's relevant. Afilu b'rishus harabim, even if you're in a rishus harabim, because we're talking about Yom Tov. So there's no hutzah issues, you're moving it for a tzorach, I guess to take down a bird and eat it. Aval sulam shel aliyah asra b'tilto. But any ladder that's for outdoor construction, for getting onto the roof, there's an iser darabanan, because it might come, because people might think you're coming to fix your roof. If you start, you know, carrying it and leaning it against your house that goes to the roof, a tall ladder that reaches your roof. And so those type of ladders, there's a gzera that you might come to, there's a gzera that people will think you're coming to fix your roof, and therefore you can't use it, and therefore it also becomes muksa. Okay, so this is applies. Now what about big, so indoor ladders or small ladders, that's for sure not a problem. If it's a ladder, that's a big ladder that's used for the outdoors, so then, 1 second. Now, how does this go? There is a machlokas regarding a particular size ladder that's for the outside. 1 second. Tall ladders that are also used for the indoors, so there happens to be a machlokas about it. And it seems from the Shulchan Aruch it's certainly not a problem, but the Mishnah Berurah says, outdoors using a tall ladder, so then lechatchila one should not use it. Only a ladder that's indoors, that's for sure going to be okay. But to use a ladder that reaches, that's outside, so that, he says, lechatchila one should preferably not use. Okay, sorry about that. Fine, let's go to hey. Lahotzi gerav shel re'i lahachziro dino kashavas kach dino b'yom tov. So we're going to have today a few halachas where basically Shulchan Aruch says, look up the same halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, and that applies to Yom Tov. So we know if you have something that's normally a muksa, but it's just, it's putrid, it's in a container, you're allowed to take it out. And that's, or empty it and bring it back in. So that would be, just like that's okay for Shabbos, it's okay for Yom Tov. There's a, okay. Special heter to take it out because it's disgusting and it's in a place where you want to be, where you normally are. Okay. Vav. Behema shemeita b'yom tov. Imaita mesukenet me'erev yom tov. Hareze mechadcha leklavim. So you have an animal that dies on Yom Tov. So what do you do? If it was Erev Yom Tov, you knew it might die, because it was mesukenet, it was ill, and you knew it might die. So then, so you kind of had a mind, oh, you might use it for your animals if it dies. So then if it dies on Yom Tov, even though it's an avela, you're not going to eat it for yourself, you're allowed to give it to your animals to eat. And if it's difficult for your animals to eat it the way it is, you're allowed to cut it up. If the animals would normally eat it just the way it is, off the carcass, the animal itself, the body, so then you're not allowed to cut it up if they don't need you to cut it up, because it's extra tircha that you're doing for them that's not necessary. Okay. But if the animal was not in danger, you had no reason to suspect it's going to die on Shabbos. Even though it was sick, you didn't expect it to die. That was totally unexpected. So then it's still muksa, because you didn't have a mind, and therefore you can't do anything with it. Right? You can't move it and bring it to your animals. You can't cut it up, etc. Okay. Now, I'll just point out, this halacha, that it's muksa, is according to the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, who is a little bit more strict than the Rama when it comes to muksa on Yom Tov. According to the Rama, Magen Avraham points out that it would be mutter, even for this animal. Because any animal that's like quasi set aside, the Rama holds is not muksa on Yom Tov. Mechaber is more strict, the Rama says. So in this case, it would still, since now it's usable, then it's not muksa. Okay. Zayin. Matchilin ba'aremo tevin. Okay, so now you have bundles of tevin, of straw. So you kind of, so again, this is also a halacha for the Shulchan Aruch, not for the Ramah. The Ramah's going to be makel anyway. But here you have bundles that are basically set aside, not for fuel. Okay, and this is on Yom Tov, right? So you're allowed to use fuel. So here it's set aside to be used for later. It's in your storage, and what maybe for animals to feed them later, and not anytime soon. Okay, so in those cases, it's usable, but it's like set aside. For
so bales of hay in the loft of the farm silo.
Right. Set aside in the farm silo. So then those you're not allowed to, they're muksa. According to the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Rama, you can use them. So he continues, however, there are times where even if you just notice it now, that, yeah, let's read, imhu tivna saria. If it's tevin that now becomes a little bit smelly or it's rotting, and you can't feed it anymore to your animals. Even if you break it up, whatever you can do, it's not edible for your animals anymore. That was the whole purpose why you set it aside. Or the eat bekotzim, or it's full of thorns. And again, it has no use anymore for it, except for fuel. So even if you notice it now, on Yom Tov, she'omed, so then you're allowed to use it, she'omed lahasaka. Because memela, even though you put it away for, you know, medium, we'll call it medium term, long-term storage. So then it becomes automatically, its purpose is now, you see, it has only one purpose, for fuel. And you're allowed to use fuel on Yom Tov. So memela, even though you didn't know ahead of time, or you didn't like do a special, okay, now I'm making it, originally wasn't the yuchad for otsar for storage, and now all of a sudden, you don't have to now verbally or even mentally designate, oh, now it's for fuel. Automatic, it's for fuel. So if you have something like that, it's not muksa, and you can actually use it for fuel on Yom Tov. Okay. One of the other reasons of having a kotzim is also there's two purposes, main purposes. It could be depends on the situation. It could be for animal food, or it could have been also be to use to make into a clay or some kind of a bricks or I don't know, some kind of building material. But with the kotzim, it just makes it non-usable for everything. Okay, fine. Let's go on. Chet. Well, depends on the situation. Okay, it could be or. It has to be where it's no longer, it's only usable for fuel. If you put it away for any purpose and it's still good for that purpose, then it's still set aside for that, then according to Shulchan Aruch, that's 100% muksa. Okay, the point is, once and now it's only used for hasaka, it's no longer muksa. Now it's for fuel. Chet. Notlim eitzim hasmuchim medofni hasukah umasikin bahem. Now, if you have walls of a sukkah, it could be any kind of a hut or real sukkah or whatever it is, it's any kind of a little quasi binyan or whatever you have, taking apart wood from it obviously is a problem. That's you'd be in the soter. So that you can't do. You can't take a piece of a pergola or whatever you have outside or any kind of a little structure, rip off a piece of wood and now use it for fuel. Okay? So however, if you had a pile of wood or a pile of whatever you have material right next to your sukkah or right next to your whatever you have, so then that's okay. Because it's not part of that binyan. Even though it's right next to it, it's not part of it. Unless you made it part of it. You made it thicker and that became part of your wall. So then it's a problem. V'hu adin, im zarak chavilot aschach, so too if you throw bundles of material on top of your pergola or on top of your sukkah. So then, that also, the enum betel of the gabe aschach. When you threw it up there, that's just the storage of where you threw your extra bundles. Im daitu lahasikan mutar litlan misham. So if you have a mind to take it down to use as fuel, that's not a problem. We don't say there's a gzera, there's no, it's not part of the hut, it's not part of the sukkah, no problem. Tet. Bayit shehu male perot muchanim venivchat. Now, here you have some kind of a structure, a house, a room, that was sealed on all sides. And you can't get in. There's no way to get in. So there's no proper open and closed door. If there'd be a door that you just normally open and close, you can go in there and take the food that's in there. So, but here you have something that, again, this is, you put some fruit that's edible inside like a storage room where you're not planning to eat it for Yom Tov or Shabbos. It's just left over there for long-term, medium-term storage. And here he says, let's say an opening opens up, and it's not set aside for long-term storage. If it would be set aside for long-term storage, then that would be the case of muksa according to the Shulchan Aruch, not according to the Ramah. But you have something that's called muchanim. The perot, they're edible right now, and you can eat them short-term. But right now for Yom Tov, they're in a sealed room, and there's no way to open it up, except something happens and it opens up. I don't know. A missile lands and ends up with a little hole, or some kind of really a wind, or a non-Jew opens it up, or an animal opens it up, and breaks open a hole. You can't make that hole bigger, but that hole that you have, so he says, no, tell me, mekom ha-pechat. You can pull it out and take it from that opening. Not a problem. Now, according to the Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, the Magen Avraham, Taz, Aruch HaShulchan, you see, it could be any strong house, and it's not a problem. You can, even if it was a proper binyan, and it would be binyan, and it would be a problem of binyan or stira, but it happened by itself. So therefore, it's not a problem. Happens to be a machlok rishonim, which is why in the Bir Lacha, the Mishnah Berurah says, lechatchila, it's best to be machmer. It does seem like a chumrah, but he says best to be machmer, unless you really need it. that the only time it's mutter is if it's in a house that's already kacha kacha, ready to be fall apart. It's not a really strong house, and even if you open it up properly, you'll be doing nothing more than something that's only on a darabanan level. So that's also, we saw this before. If a non-Jew brings something michutz latchum, and now it brings it to you for himself, not for you. And now it's brought, so anything that happened on a darabanan level, everybody would agree 100% it's mutter. But even if it's a daraisa level, if it was done for a non-Jew, that seems to be the ikar halacha. Okay. Tav kuf yud tet. Siri dlatot mutter lahasu 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 yom tov. Now, if you have some kind of a cabinet, and you have these, opening up doors. Let's see what it says. Aleph, misalkim shvisei chanuyot. You're allowed to remove these wooden bars, the krashim shenolim behem chanuyot, that are used to lock the doors of the stores. And you're allowed to put them down, these wooden bars that open and close the stores. We don't want you to lose out on Simchas Yom Tov, so there's no gzera according to from opening it. So I sent out a picture that basically these are large doors. And they could be, you can either have the hinges that go into the sockets on the side or in the middle of the door. Okay, I don't fully understand exactly how they were. That picture helps. And depending where the hinges makes it a bigger problem of how tight it can be. So the halacha is like this. If the hinges are in the middle, there's no gzera, and we want you to have some chasyom tov, we let you open it. But if there is the hinges from the side, it's aser gzera shema yitaka. Because in those cases, we're worried that you're gonna close it really tight, and therefore, and then it'll be more of an issue of binyan. And that's what we're afraid of. Okay. The she'elim tzir min atzad kol ikar, but if there's no hinges on the side, I feel a babayis mutar lahachzer. No problem to open and close.
Doors, not windows.
I don't think it matters. Doors or windows, I think it's the same thing.
Metal shutters.
Yeah. But it's like a big door. Okay. Fine. Base. Kelim shehem mefutzalim kegon menorah shel chuliot v'kisei v'shochan shehem chatichot chatichot. So items that come in pieces, they come apart in pieces, and you put them back together again to make them useful. So all these things. So it says ma'amidin otam b'yom tov. You're allowed to build them on, put them together on yom tov. Hu shelo itka, and that's that you don't stick them together very tightly. So then the issue is binyan and stira by kalim. So there's a concept of, we don't say binyan and stira by kalim, so it depends. If it's something that you're really building from scratch and you're making a proper kli, so that, yes, we do hold there's a nisa deraisa, binyan by kalim by kli, but in certain cases we say it's only an issue darabanan. Like you're just putting together pieces and you're just, you're melting them or gluing them together. It depends on what the case is and how the kelim are being built. But the point is here, if it's just pieces that you put together and it's meant to do that, so there's no iser. Okay. Here, a case that the Mishnah brings up, which is related to a previous halacha, if a non-Jew brings you a delivery, even outside the tchum, you get a package or you get a mail, can you open it up? So it seems to be that many poskim, and based on this, if it's going to give you simchas yom tov, you're allowed to open it up. If you're just doing kilkel, if you're just destroying your letter, destroying the package that it's in, if you're going to be opening something up and you're going to end up with a usable box, so that might be aser. But leave that as a question. But if you're just destroying a package on the outside when you open it up, so then many, if not most, say you're allowed to open it up if it's Simchas Yom Tov. Okay, Gimel. Lahatir ulahafkia vilachto chotamot shebekelim v'shebekarka ulashaber potchot. Yeah, that, I don't know. The Mishnah Berurah was on the last one, but it's more seems to be more attached to Gimel. To open and to cut open and to remove seals of kelim and breaking things. All these items are dinam b'shabbos kach dinam b'yom tov. So if you look up Shin Yudalit or other places in the Shulchan Aruch where these things are discussed, so generally speaking, whatever applies over there applies equally to Yom Tov. Dalit? Okay.
I think some
things that
additional
coolers because of the orchid for opening. I don't think there's a. Not familiar there being a difference for ochel nefesh. Dalet. Liktom. Kash. O kesam. O tevin. O atze. Besamim. Dinan biyom tov. Kedinan v'shabbos. So too, you want to take some straw or a piece of wood. So if it's from machal. So the same halacha by Shabbos applies to yom tov. Like if you want to take it from animal food, it's okay. But if you want to take it from the ground, that's muksa. That's not okay. Okay. Hey. Ktamim sh'osim anashim v'vatei zorotim v'vatei shokem asur l'asotam b'yom tov mishum tikun mana. So certain types of folds and creases that were done, assuming more on a, not just folding up or rolling up your sleeves, but doing something more, a little more permanent to your kelim, to your clothing, or I don't know. I'm not exactly sure, but some kind of folds by your the ends of your sleeves or your socks or whatever it is. In those days, it used to be aser. Asur la sotan biyom tov mishum tikun mana. As if tikun mana. Mishnah Berurah says making some kind of a wood, or making a wooden stick in your collar.
I think it means by itself, it's a mold,
some kind of a
shaving thing that they block it.
So doing something significant to molding your clothing. Exactly how far you take, I don't know. I don't think it's an issue. As far as I know, some people have studs just to pop them in your collar. I don't think you're doing much. Collar stays, there you go. I don't think that's an issue. Okay, so how much is this? For sure not an issue. Alright. Okay, fine. Tav kuf chaf. L'chaber habayit, sweeping your house. So Aleph, the same thing. L'chaber habayit kedino keshavas, cleaning your house, the floors, is the same thing. Keshavas kach dino, sweeping. What did I say? Okay. Whatever applies to Shabbos applies to folding in half of napkins for sure is not an issue. To make fancy, I don't know, to make a little birds and out of, I don't know.
Airplanes,
I don't know. Kedino b'Shabbos, kach dino b'Yom Tov. Same thing by Shabbos applies to Yom Tov. And so just in short, if you want to sweep your house, if it's ritzuf, if there's floors, tile floors, stone floors, those are for sure not an issue. But to do sponja would be a problem. Okay. I guess maybe we'll just stop right over here. And...
Yeah. Sponge is a problem because